Jesus. Father, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. Lord, as we dip into your word, let life come from your word. Let life come from your word, God. As we dig deep, oh God, for everyone here, I have a word for you. If you've been digging in the things of the Spirit, God said, I should tell you, don't stop digging. That the things you've been digging in the Spirit, you will find. The things you've been digging for, you will find. I don't know what you've been digging for. I don't know what you've been digging for. I don't know what you've been reaching out to God for. God says you will find when you keep digging. I don't know who I am talking to, but I know I'm talking to someone. You've been searching for the deep things of God. And God said, I will give them unto you. You know, in this season, we are not after a revival. We are after the reviver. We are not seeking the hand of God. We are seeking his face. For as many of you that will seek my face, you will find. Scripture told us in Exodus chapter 20, when God came in the fullness of his power to visit the children of Israel, the presence of God was so mighty and powerful like he is in this place today. And I don't want us to make the same mistake that the children of Israel made that day. God's presence was palpable and present in their midst, but they were fearful and they could not approach God. And they made one mistake. They said to Moses, go and talk to God. Because they saw lightning, they saw God's presence. They said, Moses, you go talk to God. Whatever God tells you, you can come back and relate to us. It is time for you to seek God for yourself. And what happened? They stayed back. But Moses climbed up to the mountain. And that's why scripture will tell us later in Psalm 103 that God showed his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Because when God invited them up to come and see his ways, they rejected that invitation. And they waited only for the acts of God. These are not the days to look out for the acts of God. We're in the days to search for his ways. We're in the days where your heart cry will be, Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to know your ways. Lord, I want to touch your grace so I can be like you. That's the days we are in. Those are the kind of prayers God wants to answer these days. The acts of God will come. Those who know his ways will see his acts. In fact, let me tell you something. It is those who know his ways that manufacture his acts. So because Moses knew the way of God, Moses was able to show them the acts of God. And they were surprised. And they were calling Moses a miracle worker. So Moses could speak to the rock and water would come out. Moses could throw down his rod and it would turn to snake. Moses could plague Egypt. Moses could perform various miracles because he knew the ways of God. God called them to be participants, but they chose to be spectators. In this river, God don't want spectators. He wants participants. This morning, choose where you belong. Do you want to be a participant or a spectator? He's calling sons unto glory. He wants you to participate in his glory. Don't speculate. Don't wait for the man of God to go up the mountains and bring down the glory. You are the glory. You are the carrier of the glory. Father, we say thank you. I came this morning with a note, very long note. I thought I was just going to preach from my notes. I can't even look at it anymore. And if you can see, I have torn it. I have to tear it out. We prayed one prayer. We said, Lord, let your glory come. And we sang it as a song. And when God's glory come, Nothing else matters. Your script, your message is not as important as the flow of God. Father, we say thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, we ask. We seek your permission, Lord, to teach for some minutes. That your people will hear what you've prepared for them, oh God. Even when they sit and listen, oh God, let the river keep flowing. Let it flow from the inside and flow outside, oh God. That we will touch our world, we will touch our cities. From these hearts, from this house, oh God, to the desert nations. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Quickly this morning, we'll talk about sustaining the flow of the river. Amen. So we've all agreed that God has opened unto us a river in this place. But I bring you a sure word from God. Let's appreciate the sound of many waters. Father, we thank you for them. Thank you for the sound that comes out from them every day. We bless you, Lord. May the sound never cease from them in the name of Jesus. So we talk about, this morning, we're talking about sustaining the flow of the river. And we'll just get that done quickly. Jesus was speaking in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Very popular scripture for anyone who's been in this river season. And while preparing for this last night, God said something to me. He said, whatever is bettered in the place of the Spirit must be sustained in the place of the Spirit. We did not come here to dig any river. We did not plan anything. It's not man-made. There is no man agenda in all of this. It's bettered by God in the Spirit. And God is saying to us, you can only sustain this river in the place of the Spirit. That's the key word for today's service. Because, like we will see when we dig further, that having a flow is very important. Any river that cannot flow becomes a dead river. It becomes a stagnant river. Any river that cannot flow is either a lake, a dam, or a pond. It does not have freshness. That's what differentiates a river from other smaller bodies of water. A river has a flow. So the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is similar to the flow of a river. Just like rivers flow, so does the Holy Spirit flow. So what is a flow? To flow means to move freely from one place to another in a steady, unbroken stream, or rather some would say, unhindered, steady movement. That's what defines a flow. So a river flows, avoiding obstacles, avoiding impediments, avoiding anything that tries to distract it. Water will always try to find a way. And the Holy Spirit has been revealed to us this season as a river. Jesus Christ speaking, he says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, he said, Jesus Christ stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Let's stay at that 37. In that last day of the great feast, if you do your research about the Jews, you'll find out that this feast they talked about was the Feast of the Tabernacle. They have three feasts that the Jews normally perform, the Feast of the Tabernacle, the Pentecost, and the Passover. For the Feast of the Tabernacle, there is a form of water ritual that the priest would normally do. So it was symbolic that before that ritual could happen, Jesus had to make this cry because he understands that the rituals they were doing was not enough to quench the thirst of people. because there is a greater test in the lives of people, and only the Holy Spirit can quench it. Now, to show you how important it was for Jesus, Scripture said that Jesus stood and he cried. So if a man stands from his seat and cries, you will know what he said is very, very important, right? So it was very important for Jesus that he had to say this. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The next verse. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The key word there is the flow. But this he spake of the spirit which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Hallelujah. He's given now. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus has been glorified. So a key part of the definition of the word flow is that in verse 36, Jesus 38 rather, Jesus Christ says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And we are in a season where we've experienced this flow, where we've experienced this outburst. But the teaching today is coming to tell us that there is a need to sustain it. So that we will not be Christians that will, in years to come, we will tell our children and our grandchildren that there was that time in the oasis when river was flowing. And then when they ask you what happened, you say the river has been blocked. It is not enough to start a movement. It is the sustenance that makes a movement a success. So if there is a flow of the river, God has also come to tell us that there is a need for you to sustain it. So this morning we'll be looking at how to sustain the flow of the river. Because without the movement of the Holy Ghost, the church is lifeless and static. You know it if you have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That was why one man in the Bible cried out, Psalm 51, unplanned, unrelated. David, when he sinned, do you know that one of the things that David cried for to God was, take not your Holy Spirit away from me? Because he knew as a king of Israel, without the Holy Spirit, he was dead. He sinned against God. God came and, you know, God reprimanded him. In his prayer of repentance, he cried. He said, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Because he knew at that moment, sin had blocked the flow of the Spirit. He knew that the great warrior that people called him will come to an end if the Holy Spirit was not with him. It happened to his predecessor, Saul. Saul once had the Holy Spirit upon him. Scriptures even told us in 1 Samuel 10 that Saul was seen prophesying among the prophets. So he once experienced the flow. But David, unlike Saul, when Saul sinned, Saul was more concerned about the opinion of the people. So he held the garment of Samuel and said, please honor me in front of the people. But when David fell, David was more conscious of his relationship with the Holy Spirit because he knew without that flow, nothing spectacular will happen in his life again. So there is a need to maintain the flow of the Holy Spirit. Without the flow of the Holy Spirit, you become irrelevant. The church will become irrelevant. Even you, the inspirations you get every day when you wake up, how the Holy Spirit teaches you to do stuff, the devil will want to block it. So let's look at how we can maintain the flow of the Spirit, the flow of the river. One, there is a need for continuous thirst and hunger for the Spirit. There is a need. Last night I was listening to Pastor Benny Hinn teach, and he was talking about getting into the presence of God. And he said something that struck me. He said, you need to get into the presence of God daily. The one that you did yesterday, if we have a revival meeting all night and you go to bed, when you wake up the next morning, you need to get back into the presence. So your thirst for God must be continuous. Jesus Christ told us that it is only those who thirst that will be filled. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 44 verse 3, where clearly the condition for receiving this water of life is the thirst. And it's not just enough to say, I was thirsty when I received the Holy Spirit. you must be thirsty for him continuously. The same way in the physical realm, I drank water yesterday, plenty of water. I will still drink today again. I don't give the excuse to my body that I had plenty of water yesterday, so today is water-free day. The body will demand more water. It's the same way the Holy Spirit is demanding that you become continuously thirsty for him. In verse 3, he says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That tells me something, that the condition for God pouring out his water upon you is that you must be thirsty. This morning, if God had come and found nobody thirsty here, he will not pour any water. Because it's of no use. If you are giving water to children, you only give to those who are thirsty. Those who are not thirsty will waste the water, right? They'll play with it. They'll throw it away. And the things of God are too precious. So God will not pour out his waters upon people that are not thirsty. So until you become thirsty, God will not pour. So the one he poured yesterday, the same God the next day will come again to pour again. He needs to find you thirsty. He needs to find you hungry for him. No test, no river. No test, no outpouring. God has promised, you know, in the book of Joel, he said that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But I also found out something about that scripture. It is not every flesh that will still receive that water, the spirit. It is only those that are thirsty. It tells me something that every flesh is qualified for God's spirit to be poured out upon them. But only those that are thirsty will receive it. So it is only those who are thirsty that can maintain. You have to maintain a continuous thirst so that you can sustain the flow. So what God has done is not just when we come to the service, you know, and the presence of God is so tangible and you fall under your anointing. Those things are very, very, very good. But more importantly, God wants you to take that thirst back home in your daily life, in your daily routine. He wants to find you thirsty. He wants to find you hungry for him. He wants to see you always longing for him. A song says that you are the longing of my heart, the desire of my life, sweetness to my soul. Jesus, you are my all in all. So when Jesus looks into your heart, when the Holy Spirit looks into your heart, that's what he wants to find. He wants to see you communicate with him at all times. And remember, Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew 5, that they that thirst and hunger after righteousness, what? They shall be filled. So God wants to see you hungry. So ask your neighbor, are you hungry? Are you thirsty for God? Now ask yourself, am I thirsty for God? And what's your answer? So we talked about maintaining thirst for God. Second is giving the Spirit free access. I laugh because that's what really happened this morning when we came up to start the message, right? One of the ways that you can maintain the free flow of the Spirit is to allow the Spirit to have access and free flow. You know, it is easier for man to block the Spirit. And how do we do that? Allow God to change the plan. Allow God to interrupt your plan. It's good to have a routine. It's good to have a program. It's good to have protocol. But never allow plans and routine to limit the Holy Spirit in what he wants to do. So the plan this morning was after choir ministration, we'll start the word. But if the Holy Spirit wants to flow and touch his people, do we quench the Spirit and start teaching? So in your life too, there are times when you want to go out. Something makes you busy. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, can I have like 10 minutes of your time? Can you just go into the restroom in the office and just pray in the language of the Holy Spirit? Or at times the Holy Spirit comes to you middle of the night when sleep is so sweet. And he says to you, son, let's do something. And you're like, God, no. I tell you, the Holy Spirit won't force you. He will come to my house and he will find me available. And that's how the Spirit works. So never, ever, ever have a strict routine for the Holy Spirit. Always say to the Holy Spirit, have your way. We say that as a song. We say that, you know, most times when we sing these things. But in action, in reality, we should be flexible towards the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not have, he doesn't have a timetable. So there are times he needs your attention. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and yield to him. Anytime you do not yield to him, you are blocking the flow. Amen. So flowing with the anointing brings greater blessing than just sticking to the program. I know here in the Oasis, God has made us a spirit church where, you know, we don't have a program. We only have a program on paper. And that's what God wants. So you don't put God in a box, right? And at times God just wants to flow in worship. God wants to flow in prayer. And you are stamping your feet and you are saying, no, it's time for announcement. And the host of heaven will just be looking at you. What are you announcing? What are you announcing? So it's about church, but also about you too in your own life. There are days when you want to go out and God says to you, you know what? Today I want us to have quiet time. I want us to have me and you time. Have anyone had that kind of experience before? And then you think of all the things that you've, you know, I like some people in this generation. Some people plan their day from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. You know, I met someone like that in university. We were in the committee to do some work. And then we said to her, 5 p.m. we'll meet. She would just bring out her jotter and check. 1 to p.m. library, 2 to 4. 5 p.m. siesta, I'm not coming out. If you try to do that with the Holy Spirit, you will block the flow of the river. Because it's not about your routine. It's about the routine of the Holy Spirit. So you should learn to allow God to interrupt your plans, as that is a sign of complete surrender to him. You know, most times we say, I surrender all to you. But do you surrender your time? So the Holy Spirit is saying to you, one of the ways God knows and confirms that you truly surrender to him is when you allow him interrupt your plan. When you allow him interrupt your relationship, when you allow him interrupt your business, when you allow him interrupt everything about you, because without him, you can actually do nothing. Okay. So when the Holy Spirit is coming to us that way, please and please, I beg you, never put him in a box. Never. Water does not like to be in a box. Water likes to flow. So if the Holy Spirit wants to flow, I once listened to Pastor Kwoju Oyemade say something, and it stuck to me. He said he traveled to South Africa one time to preach, and he was taking a stroll outside his hotel room. And then all of a sudden, there was a burden to speak in tongues. And he was on the road, and he was wondering, won't people see me crazy? So he tried to be, you know, sometimes we can also try to be smart with the Holy Spirit. So he tried to speak in tongues in his mind, you know. At least he's still speaking in tongues, right? But the Holy Spirit wanted it out. So he was, And then the thing started coming out. He was trying to control it. Along the road, he saw someone coming. Guess what? The person was busy singing reggae song loudly. And the Holy Spirit said to him, the man is happily and proudly singing reggae on the road. And guess what? Nobody calls that man singing reggae crazy, right? True of us. But if you see the man speaking in tongues on your streets, in your estate, you will call him crazy sometimes. So when God says speak in tongues, speak. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a form of culture, right? But you can take some moments out and just do it. Don't box him. Don't box him. He doesn't want to be in a box. He has plans to fill the whole earth. So why put him in a box? Next, we talk about learning the ways of the Spirit. Flowing with the Spirit requires spiritual sensitivity, which is developed through personal relationship with God. You can only be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you have a personal relationship with Him. Jesus Christ was speaking in John. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they know my voice. So sometimes, even when he is speaking himself, you won't even know. That's why sometimes you will hear some Christians. I used to be in that category until Pastor knocked my head many times. And you say, I heard something say to me. What is the something? The only thing that is permitted to speak to you is the Holy Spirit. So you can't describe him as something. So if you know his voice, you will say it's something. And how that comes? By personal relationship with God. It's the only way you can learn the ways of the Spirit. So you have to develop that personal relationship. And it must be personal. Truth of the matter is, God is tired of long-distance relationship with us. He is tired. That's long distance. You know how long distance relationship work? The guy is in Canada and you are in Lekki. And every morning you are telling yourself, oh, I can't wait for when you will come back. And because of the physical barrier, you try to make do with video calls, phone calls. But the Holy Spirit is saying to you, heaven is not too far for me to come to your room. So why put me at arm's length? Why create a long-distance relationship with me? Why try to video call me when I can come into your room and we can have intimacy, we can have that moment? So if you've been having a long-distance relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you that he's tired of it. He wants to come closer. Or in fact, he has been closer. You are the one who have moved. And that's the only way you can learn the ways of the Spirit. Continuous interaction with the Spirit. So another way we sustain the presence of the Holy Spirit and the flow of the river is by having intimacy with God. So this is related, this is connected. So your intimacy level with the Holy Spirit, you know, like we said, that whatever is bettered in the place of the Spirit must be what? Sustained in the place of the Spirit. So intimacy with God is one of the ways that you can maintain whatever you've started. You've come to a place where there is a river and you have to go back home with the river. It is up to you to maintain and sustain the flow of that river. So intimacy with the Holy Spirit will help you. I wrote down here in my notes that intimacy with God is a sign of spiritual growth, as intimacy only happens between adults or among grown-ups. So you have to grow up to that place of intimacy with the Holy Spirit so that every day the river will be flowing. Any river that flows only on Sunday is not a river, it's a pond. So what God has opened for us is a river. But in your own personal life, is it still a river? Or has it turned into a pond? Has it even worse turned into a lake? Because a lake is like a dead water that receives and does not give out. Only through intimacy with God can you maintain this flow. So God understands, he speaks to you daily. He reveals himself to you daily. So whatever current you carry from this place, the level will never drop because of your intimacy with him. You are consistently and continuously plugged into the Spirit. So there is a flow. So we talked about being hungry. What sustains intimacy is hunger and desire for someone. So that hunger must never go out. Never quench the Spirit. Never. And we talked about having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. It happens in the place of intimacy. If you look through scripture, you will find that God is a God that loves fellowship. God loves koinonia. Scripture tells us in Genesis that God will come down in the cool of the evening in the garden looking for man. I tell you, God has not stopped looking for man like that. He is still coming to your room looking for you. He's still coming to you at that moment, asking you for quiet time. He's still coming to you saying, let's reason together. He said, come, let us reason together. He's still coming, but when he comes, does he find you ready? Does he find you willing and available to be intimate with him? Or rather, when he comes, he always finds you texting. Or when he comes, he always finds you busy with business. Or when he comes, he always finds you busy with sleep. When that happens, he will find the next available spot. And I can tell you something, that lack of intimacy with God will already result in people outsourcing their spiritual life to third parties. That's what happens. So because you cannot even reach God for yourself, the veil of the holies of holies has been torn open by the death of Jesus. So you can't even come in now. But you still prefer someone to go in like the children of Israel did in Exodus 20. Say, go and hear for us and come back. So when people lack intimacy with God, they begin to outsource their spiritual lives to third parties and mediums. I remember when we did a series on hearing from God, I had to carry out a small research on my own, and I found out something. Hearing from God is such a big deal. I tell you, it's such a big deal. To the extent that it has turned to a big business, there's a booming industry about hearing from mediums. People of the world will tell you that all you people, you try to say you hear from God. I tell you, there's a big industry. I checked out in America. I checked out in South Korea and one other country. There is a booming industry of people going to consult mediums, witches, and others because they want to hear from the supernatural. But you, the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to come speak to you for free. People are having sessions where they are paying $10, $20. I saw one where you have to pay like almost $30 or $40 to go hear a fake. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to hear, I want to teach you, I want to tell you all things. But because you are not intimate with him, so what happens? You go, that's what people do. So you cannot maintain that flow of the river that you've started in, that started in this place, that started in your life, if you can't have that intimacy with God. So you begin to do what? You begin to consult third parties. Last week I was reading the book God Chases that we are supposed to read for everyone. And I got to a part where they were talking about, and the man was talking about intimacy with God. I couldn't put down the book. And God said something to me that I wrote down. And last night when I was listening to Pastor Benny Hinn, he mentioned the same thing. I just knew it was confirmation of what God was saying. God said to me that sometimes with him, three is a crowd. There are times God just wants only you. So we're in this place worshiping and praising God. God is still saying to you, when you get home, I want to have time with you. So there are times when three is a crowd. Pastor Benny said, all of the experiences that he has gotten in greater dimension of the Holy Spirit had come in his personal moment with God. That it's good to come to church, it's good to belong to the word group, it's good to belong to the fellowship. But what happens when God meets you in the private? Is the fire still there? So when he comes, what does he find? So in those moments, you must optimize those moments you have with the Holy Spirit. That's one way you maintain the flow, and it becomes consistent. Now, the next one, we'll talk about flowing in the right direction. Now, the flow of the Spirit comes in various dimensions. There are days when God comes in high praises. There are days when he comes in stillness. There are days when he comes in peace. There are days when he comes in joy. There are days when he comes with high praises and his songs. But you must learn to flow in the right direction. Some people get too familiar with God, and when the Spirit is flowing, let's say, in the area of high praises, the man becomes too spiritual, and that's when he begins to pray. He's missing out. There are times when the Spirit comes in stillness, and the very spiritual man believes that God, this place is too quiet. And he begins to jump. At that moment, he's not flowing. So your response to the flow of God, you respond to the flow of God by knowing what he's doing. So if there's an anointing to praise, then you respond with praise. If there's an anointing to shout, you shout. If there's an anointing to praise, you praise. Only people who know God can know this moment. So you don't act awkwardly when God is moving in a certain direction. You are faced this way, moving this way. There is no flow. So as we wrap up, we talk about blocking the flow. Essentially, we've talked about how people block the flow by not responding. So if you not respond to the flow of God, it basically blocks the flow that God has for the moment. And then another way people block the flow of the Spirit is by unbelief. We saw that in the book of Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. Jesus Christ had gone to his hometown where he was raised. And Jesus had gone with so much expectation to perform miracles. But the people had so much unbelief in their hearts. And they were looking at Jesus as the son of the carpenter. They became too familiar with him. And Jesus could not perform many miracles. So never come to the Holy Spirit. Never come to the river with unbelief. Sometimes I understand how these things happen. Maybe you've come to the river. You've come for these services like one, twice, three, four times. And you've not had anything move or change in your life. So when you hear people give testimonies about how they've had personal experiences, you begin to doubt. A man who doubts cannot receive anything from God. Not even the flow of the river. Not even the flow of the river. So as we begin to wrap up, I want to ask you, is there any way you know in your life you've somehow, you know you're not flowing in the river? It's possible. You know, I remember when we were praying last week or 2 weeks here, I gave an example. Not everyone who goes, you know, I gave an example of when we used to go and learn how to swim with Pastor P. He's an expert, he would just dive. Me, I would just come to the edge of the swimming pool, I would just put my leg inside, you know, and then take pictures. Not everyone who has gone to the pool has swum. But when you see the pictures posted online, someone saw it and said, ah, you know how to swim now. So it is possible that we come to the river and not everybody is experiencing the river. It's possible that some people are like the man at the poolside. He stayed 38 years. You've only stayed 4 weeks or 5 weeks, so there is hope. If you are like that, I just want, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you today. We'll pray. Whether it is unbelief that has blocked your access to the river, whether it is fear, and more importantly, whether it is sin. So I'll use this opportunity to call out and say to you, if you know that you're not living right with God, whether there's a river you will not even know, how much more how to flow in that river? So the question is this, is a chance for you to give your life to Christ? I say this with all sincerity of purpose, that is the beginning of the flow of the river. When Jesus Christ said, come to me, when he said, come to me, he's saying to you today, come to him. Whether there be sin in your life, I don't know if there's anyone here who wants to make that a prayer point. We'll pray for you. So you begin to enjoy what every other person here is enjoying in the river. What every other person has been enjoying with the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if there's anyone who wants to make that declaration. Don't mind who is looking at you. It doesn't matter. I can tell you everyone seated here, whether from the pastors to the ushers to the HODs, they've had time, they made this answer. Every great man of God you know today, everyone who calls down fire from heaven started like this. Response to the call of God. So if you want to respond to God this morning, if you want to respond to God today, this is a chance for you. It's a chance for you. Do not let it pass you by. Do not let it pass you by. If you know you want to give your life to Christ so that you can begin to enjoy this river like every other person is enjoying, it starts from giving your life to Christ. I beg you, do not let this chance pass you by. I beg you. We'll wait for you. We can keep on going this service until you come out. We can wait for you. It is much more important to us that when we flow in this river together, we flow in one spirit, we flow in one unity. Spirit, this morning I bid you come to His presence, come to the altar. I bid you come to the altar. Can we please come out? The Spirit of God wants to move and brood upon us.
Captivating my soul and need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating my soul, and every day I grow closer to you. I'm reaching for your heart, you hold my life in your hand, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power renewed, nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I want to worship you in spirit.
Your children, let your spirit brood upon them, O God. Let your spirit come upon every one of them out here as they reconnect with you, Jesus. Take them to newer heights and newer levels. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your spirit. As it flows upon them, O God. Let this be for them, O God, an encounter that they will never ever forget. Lord, we bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Spirit, come upon your children at this moment, oh God. Let your spirit be made manifest in their lives. Your flow in their life will never have a stop, it will never have an end. Thank you, Jesus. Can the rest of us, can we rise?
Oh, we consecrate.
Can you begin to speak in the language of the Holy Spirit? Mano shetele bakatele barosele kapaya na baha. Mano senele bakarosetele ki parado shetele baha. Open up your heart to the flow of the Spirit. The Spirit wants to renew things in your life today. Mano shetele kapado rebara babasute kapaya na bakore basitele bakotele baha. Ask God to touch me one more time. You can ask the Holy Spirit to touch you one more time. You can never have enough of the touch of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is here to touch you. Ask Him to touch you again one more time.